Thy kingdom come. I have to warn you, this morning's sermon is political. It has to be because of those three words, thy kingdom come. It is a political statement because by saying and praying those three words, we suddenly find ourselves in the midst of a power struggle, which is really what politics is, after all, a struggle for power and control. Thy kingdom come. We are praying about God's kingdom. And by praying that, we are setting it against all other kingdoms, nations, countries, institutions, powers of this world. Now, God's kingdom is different than the kingdoms and nations and countries of this world. For one thing, when Jesus talks about God's kingdom, and it's worth noting before I go on, the Gospels talk about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, both. And they are synonymous terms. Matthew tends to say kingdom of heaven. The other Gospels tend to say kingdom of God. They mean the same thing. The thing about God's kingdom is you can't point to it. It's not a place. Any earthly kingdom or country or nation, even if they have shifting boundaries, still has boundaries. You can point to it. I remember learning in high school, one of my social studies classes, we had to learn every single country in the world. But of course, that knowledge is already outdated. About half the countries I learned have either changed their names or no longer exist or whatever. You can't do that with God's kingdom. You can't point to it. There's no boundary. There's no territory. In fact, saying the kingdom of God is not a reference to a place at all. It's a reference to the entire reign of God, which is everywhere, everyone, every time. The reign of God encompasses all. That's the kingdom of God. Can't point to it. There's no boundary to it. It's everything, everywhere, every time. That's the kingdom of God, unlike any earthly power. Now, here's where it gets political. We say to God, thy kingdom come, your kingdom. And by saying that, we acknowledge who's in charge. We acknowledge and say, here's where our loyalty lies. Here's where our trust lies. Here's where our faith lies. Not in any earthly kingdom or power or person or party or country, but in God's kingdom. That's a pretty radical thing to say, especially on Independence Day weekend. Our ultimate allegiance and loyalty is to God, and God alone, and God's kingdom. That's where our ultimate hope lies. Now, Christians are to be involved in their own country. I firmly believe. Paul says this a number of times. We are to vote. We are to work for change. But to do so always with the perspective that any change, any election is temporary, is limited, is earthly in scope. This is why I love election season. I love it. I love reading the history of this country and its politics. I love it, find it fascinating. But more and more I realize, I must admit, sort of like the workings of our presbytery and our denomination, it all falls a little short, ultimately. We work for change, but we know that true change comes from God. We celebrate Independence Day. We celebrate the ideals and the principles of this great country we live in. But we acknowledge our true independence and freedom comes from God, not from any human institution or government. You see how radical these three little words are to pray? God, your kingdom come. Not our country, not our party, not any human institution, but God, your kingdom come. That's pretty radical to say. I should also maybe mention, I'm convinced in heaven, in God's kingdom, there are, for example, no flags to worry about, thank God. Also, no statues, no monuments, no parties, none of that. Because in God's kingdom, there's God and then there's all of us. Doesn't that sound nice? God, your kingdom come. That's our ultimate trust and faith and hope in God. Even as we work to make this world reflect God's kingdom as best we can, we know that it never will ultimately until Christ comes again. Which gets us to the third point of these three little words. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom. The kingdom not of this world. And yet we pray for it to come. Now this is where things get interesting. If they're not interesting yet. I won't make you vote on whether they're interesting yet. I hope they are. Thy kingdom come. Now when the Pharisees asked Jesus about God's kingdom, they say, when is God's kingdom coming? Now, of course, they want Jesus to give them a date. You know, like so many people throughout history have tried to do. God's kingdom is coming. The world's going to end on October 12th, 2018. And everyone who's ever tried to give you that date has been dead wrong. Now, even a clock that's broken is right twice a day. So someday someone may luck on the correct date. But that's not what Jesus is concerned about. He says to the Pharisees, I can't tell you when in terms of signals and symbols. He said, it's not going to be in the way you expect. It's not going to be when you expect. You're probably going to be looking at all the wrong signs. But I can tell you this, Jesus says. God's kingdom is already among you. Now, this is true on many levels. For one thing, Jesus is saying, you know, because I'm here. Jesus is the embodiment of the reign of God, of God's kingdom. The minute Jesus was born, God's kingdom had come to earth. But Jesus tells us to pray, thy kingdom come. So obviously it's not fully here yet. Jesus did the work that Jesus had to do. But there's still work remaining before God's kingdom comes in all its fullness and completion. Jesus planted the seed. Jesus made the kingdom take root. And now we await the tree to bear fruit, to come to fruition. When we pray, thy kingdom come, we are saying the kingdom is here among us, but not yet fully realized. Which means maybe there's still work for us to do. And the other particularly radical thing about these three little words is they are all about change. If you pray, thy kingdom come, you mean, let me be open, God, to being transformed and changed. Let our world be open to being transformed and changed. This is not a prayer about the status quo. This is not a prayer that says, let's go back to a wonderful time when everything was great, even though it really wasn't, but it seems like it to us now. This is a prayer that says, the kingdom is still not yet fully here. Let's do what we can to bring it to fruition. Let me end with some words from William Barclay, who says this about these three little words. The kingdom of God will come secretly, silently, but unstoppably the seed grows. Man can delay the kingdom, and man can hinder the kingdom, but in the end the kingdom will come. He goes on to say this, no man need pray this prayer unless he is prepared to hand himself over to the grace of God in order that the grace may make him a new creature. This is no prayer for the man who desires to stay the way he is. No prayer for a community that desires to stay the way it is. Three little words. You've prayed them many times before. Did you realize what a radical political statement you are making every time you pray them? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come to us, in us, through us, today. Amen.